Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Sound guy, we got our work cut out for us today. A lot of construction going on, and I can hear all kinds of shit going on in these headphones. But I'm going to get locked, and you do your best to cut the excess noise out, okay? Like that. Yeah, but anyways, let's just power through. Week 20 of 50. Keep going. The session plus scoreboard check, part 1. It's around 3 p.m. on Tuesday, May 11th. I'm at the Venetian Poker Room and I cannot get in a game. But unlike the previous week, I'm not going to write on my giant phone while I wait for a seat. Because even though that seems like a good use of time in this spot for someone who documents every day of their life, it doesn't serve me very well with regard to the task at hand, playing good poker. Because writing on your phone in a public place is not only mentally draining, it's much more mentally draining than writing on a laptop in private, in my experience, but it also puts you in writer mode, which is an abstract place for me, trying to remember stuff from the past, hopefully in an interesting way, as opposed to being totally focused on what is going on around you in the moment, which, of course, is the mindset you really want to be in to start a poker session, even if you know you're going to be playing against really bad players. So, last week I chose catching up on this podcast by documenting the story of my life while I waited for a seat, but then I realized after the fact that it was a poor choice and likely cost me money at Ocean's 11 in a really good game. So, this week I made the adjustment and just chilled and waited for my name to be called at the Venetian in what would figure to be a much less juicy game than the one I was in at Ocean's 11, but equally as soft. And the reason I'm at the Venetian for red chip poker, instead of at the Bellagio for 5-10, where on paper I should be right now, given all the winning I've been doing over the last few months, is because I got a lot of shit going on in my head on this day. Personal shit that is slowing me down, distracting me, weighing on me. You know how it is. I'm sure. But also, I'm still putting in a session at stakes where I could make real money, because no matter what is going on in my life, I've recently decided that I'm just going to always keep going. And that's pretty fitting that I'm recording on this day in my granny flat in North County, San Diego, and there is mad construction going on all around. I can hear the dudes talking, singing, joking, sawing, hammering, you name it, demoing, and I'm still potting, and because I have to, yeah, because it's, you know, life goes on, and if you're documenting it, you better stay on task. All right, let me take a sip of this coffee, and I'll tell you about the session. Listen to that song. Can you hear it? Okay. Anyways, we're gonna block that out. So I finally got called for 2-4 no limit, $600 max. And I'm on the board for 3-5 no limit, $1,200 max. So interesting. The Venetian is trying some new shit, right? And I sit in this 2-4 no limit game and it looks extra soft. So let me do a roll call as I fold garbage with a money behind placard in front of me. Seat one is end of trip guy. And this is an Indian gentleman with tired eyes magnified by glasses. Seat two is the enthusiast who has given me problems in the past. So this is just someone who I've seen, you know, I've played with a decent amount. And I don't remember, he's either trappy or he's sticky or he's both. And if you're a lag, a read-based lag, you know, those are harder people to play against, the ones that trap and the ones that are sticky, of course. Seat three is the patient short stack guy. So a guy just sitting there with, you know, a really short stack, but waiting for a good hand to jam it in there. Seat four, so I guess kind of like a tournament player. Seat four is Leopard Skin Mama. And this is just a slightly older woman wearing leopard skin outfit. It's cool. You're in Vegas. Do you. Seat five is Classy Short Skirt. So this woman is wearing a very short skirt, but is, you know, also dressed very classy. Mm-hmm. And as I was writing that, she readjusted her skirt. Like, she pulled it down as far as she could, you know, while still sitting. Next to her, on her direct left, as you might have guessed, in the sixth seat is your protagonist, Dragon Man. Seat seven appears to be a solid Mog. And seat eight is the Pot Playa. And this is just some Asian dude who is mixing it up, you know, every hand. And I come in on the cutoff, and I fold. And if you fold, if you come in, you know, in the best possible place, and you don't have a, you don't have to post. In bigger games, you have to post, but not here, right? And you make it all the way to your next cutoff. That's a successful knit lap, and I'm going for it, right? And I'm getting, I'm down to the last hand, right? I've folded every spot. Now I'm on the button, and I need to fold the button to complete a knit lap, right? And that's actually a decent way to start a session. And so I didn't straddle the button, even though it's plus EV too. And, but, you know, putting $8 on the button just seemed weird to me. So I crossed the finish line with my arms back and my chest out, which means I folded all those hands and, you know, felt good. And then the next note is the Pot Playa is busting players right and left. Okay. And so that's cool. You kind of want the guy who's mixing up to have all the money. And then Classy Short Skirt loses an AirPod. So she drops one of those white things out of her ear and she's asking us if we can see it, and she's Brazilian, and she's on the ground looking for it, and everyone's happy to help her. Yeah, she's under the table. Yeah, it's fine. Anyways, I'm going for two laps, two knit laps. And why do I do this? Because, I don't know, I need to entertain myself at the table. I do. I just have to think of dumb stuff to not focus on, am I really playing, you know, 2-4, no limit right now? Yeah, I am. So I'm going to try and go for two knit laps. Well, I get pocket kings. I'm not folding that. I open to $12, which is 3x, and I take it down. And so I win $4, right? Because there's six in there. They take one for the rake, and I give the dealer one. All right. And now I'm the big blind, and the Pot Playa is in there, and the Leopard Skin Mama. They're both limpers, and I just check with 9-8. And the flop comes jack, jack, deuce, and we all check, and I get the read that I can take it down, and the turn's a good card anyways. It's a 10. You know, unless someone has a 10, I'm going to have to bet a lot on the river, but I just bet 60% of pot here, and I win. And you know what 60% of the pot was? It was $5. And that's sad, but true. And now the solid Mog, he just looked like a solid Mog, leaves. So one of the floor ladies comes over and wipes, you know, the cubicle down. And I swear to, I don't know if other people think this is a, if other players talk about this or not. But, like, they'll have, like, you know, low-cut shirts and they're just, like, scrubbing the thing in front of you. It's kind of weird. And I'm not complaining, but it's interesting, okay? And it's probably the best thing about the Venetian. I don't know. So I'm the button straddle. And there are two limps, and I have queen, four of spades, and I take my knuckles, and I tap them on the table. And the flop comes 6-6 deuce, you know, not a spade in sight. I have queen, four of spades, 6-6 deuce, and the two players, you know, check, and I squint. Just, if you recall, I talked about in a long session I played where this guy, I had two pair and a flush draw, and or I think I flopped pair and a flush draw, and I check raised, and some guy who had checked squinted at the flop, and I knew I was fucked. Well, I did that, you know, just to, in case anyone else is going to read that as strength, and just bet and win. Just, you know, cheese dick, live pro shit. Okay. So I open 5-4 diamonds to $12, which is probably a misapplication. This is a good hand in different games, but in this game, it's probably just a fold. And anyways, I flopped a draw in position, and I was against someone who was going to bluff catch me, I thought. So I just took a free card on the turn and folded to the river bet, and I'm stuck. And I wrote, these stakes are dumb, real dumb. And not because I'm losing or they're too small. It's because the dealer's always making change. Because it's 2-4 no limit played with $5 chips. And so just so much of the time the dealer's like, okay, here's a dollar back, and people limp. And I don't know, I guess at least the Venetian's trying new things. So I guess that's cool. Yeah, I'm the button straddle with pocket fives. And the enthusiast, who's given me problems in the past, opens to 15. And the next person goes to 30. And I call, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I button straddle, that's eight. And so I just didn't want to do it the first time around. And, you know, this guy goes to 15. He probably doesn't realize there's a button straddle. Next guy goes to 30. Just, this is what you get at this level. And I call, and there's a four-card flop, right? So we do have 90 bucks in the pot before rake, but the blinds will pay that for us, hopefully, most of it. And it's a four-card flop, and then the dealer, you know, he hasn't turned it over yet, but he puts one of them back in the deck, and I feel like that one was a five. I don't know. I just get that feeling. And the flop comes king-queen-three, and someone bets, and I fold. Okay. And I'm just card dead, so I'm going to try listening to some music. It's kind of mayhem at the Venetian during the day. It's, you know, a lot of traffic, a lot of announcements on the microphone with all the promotions and the tournaments and shit. And they play music really loud. So I'm trying to counter that by putting my own AirPods in my ear and listening to some Travis Scott. And there's not that many different artists I like listening to while playing poker, because most of them kind of make me a little too amped up. I'm going to try Travis Scott. I don't know. I'll tell you. A hand I played. God damn it. Every time I learn, this one's, man, one day I'll. I did see a Venmo notification. Should we check that? We got a sweat right now. Hopefully it's not a request. Let's see. Someone sent me $50 and said, thanks for sessions. All right. I can dig that. Okay. So let me make sure there's no more alarms. Yeah. I've been waking up before my alarm these days. Because they're fucking demoing all around me. It's hard to sleep. It's okay. But here's the hand. The pop player limps under the gun. And I've seen enough at this point. This guy's just playing every hand. And it gets back to me in the small blind. I have ace five. And on my left is now a Euro Pro. So I'm inclined to raise here to get the Euro Pro out and just get it heads up against the guy playing every single hand. And that's what I do, and that's what happens. Euro Pro folds, and the pot player calls. And I have ace five, it comes jack seven deuce. Okay, check, he checks. And the turn's an ace, I check, and he bets, call. And the river's an X, I check, he bets, I call. And he has ace deuce offsuit. So, you know, it's just one of those things. He limped ace deuce offsuit under the gun. He called my raise. I had ace five. He flopped the deuce. We turned the ace. He won a whatever, you know, a pot. And I'm running like a duck head is what I wrote. And I, you know, that meant fuck head. But I don't know. It just, iPhone needs to fucking grow up. No one's typing duck all the time. We're typing fuck. Let us just have it. Come on. I don't know. But I get pocket kings again, and this time I win $12. And then I get called for the big game, and that's 3-5, no limit with a $1,200 cap. And I think it's $1,200, either 12 or 14, something weird. And I get a seat, and I got the pill popper on my right for you old school Sessions fans. Okay, and then here we go. I have ace king. And I win jack shit on king, king, 10, queen, king, right? But I turn over my hand. I bet, you know, tiny on the river with quads. And I qualify for the high hand. They have a high hand promotion every half hour till midnight. I don't know what time it starts. And if you get the highest hand in the room, you get $300. And I've played at the Venetian, way too much in the last few years because I haven't been able to get a bankroll going or just any momentum. And, I'm just not, it's tough. I don't have the hours and all that. Well, this is the first time I've ever qualified for a high hand. And there's 3 minutes and 19 seconds left for me to fade someone getting, a straight flush. Let me take a sip of coffee. All right, so I open ace four of hearts under the gun. And so you know who's in this game? The guy who I thought was a solid mog. He just looked like a solid mog, never played with him before. He three bets here in position. And I, even though I open under the gun and he three bets, I want a four bet with ace four because he just seems like he, he has a wide three bet range. Like, I'm sure he's taking some training courses or whatever the fuck and misplaying something. It just seems, I just want a four bet, but Lance Stevenson calls. Who's Lance Stevenson? I think his name was Born Ready, his nickname in the NBA. And, just a guy from New York, I think, and a character in the NBA. He used to blow in LeBron's ear while someone was shooting a free throw. And then he was on the Lakers. And I loved him on the Lakers. He would do air guitar after anytime he made a shot. Fucking love this guy. And it could be him. It looks a lot like him. And the guy's dressed like someone who's made a lot of money. And so Lance Stevenson calls. And now I'm just going to call with ace four hearts. This guy doesn't seem like, he calls the three bet cold. I don't know much about him. I'm just calling with ace four hearts here. It's not like we're super deep. And the flop comes queen, jack, nine. And that's not great for ace four. And they play a fatty. They play a fatty on all streets, and they both had king, queen offsuit. So I was right that, king, queen offsuit could be a three bet against the under the gun open, potentially. I don't know about always. I don't know. But I was correct that I was going to four bet him, and then I would have hopefully won then or just, lost after the flop. But, okay, they both had that, and they really went for it. And that's just, this game's not too bad, right? And then I call three bets cold with jacks from the big blind. And now one of the floor men comes over and says, "You won, but we can't pay you because your driver's license expired." And I'm like, what? I finally fucking... Only me, is going to finally fucking hit this thing after all these hours and they're not going to pay me because my driver's license expired. Like, what if you don't drive? I don't know. So I'm kind of flustered and I fold the flop with an overpair. And it was a three bet pot and it was probably right, but I don't know. I was a little distracted by the floor man telling me he's not going to pay me for my high hand. Okay. And now I overlimp pocket sevens and there's five of us in there. So it's a straddle pot. And comes 6-5 deuce, and the solid mog, who at this point I know isn't solid. So solid mog ain't solid, leads $40, and I call with my overpair, and the first man ever born goes to 140. So this guy's on my left, and he's, if you haven't gathered, or you, yeah, he's very old, right? I wrote first man ever born. I don't know if it's true or not, but could be. And he goes to 140, and that doesn't bode well for pocket sevens on 6-5 deuce and a five-way limper. And we both fold. And that is two overpairs in a row where I folded the flop. Okay. And now they're telling me, I said, "Man, I applied for a new driver's license, but I just haven't got it yet." And they said, "Can you show us proof of that?" And I'm trying to play poker, and I'm like, "Yeah, here's the email." And so I actually wasn't lying. I had it. And they're like, "Okay, take that over to the Grazzi stand and get a new card, and then we can pay you." And I stand up, and the Grazzi line is deep, right? It's probably like an hour-long line. And I'm like, "Man, how long do I have to do this? I can't do this right now. This is going to be, I'm going to dinner soon." And he said, "You have 7 days. And I'm wondering, am I going to punt this $300? The old me, 100%, would just forget about it and just not make it back to the Venetian to cash in. The new me is a huge favorite to not punt it because, you know, I'm broke and I'm focused on coming up so much. Okay, so I have ace 10 and the solid Mog who ain't solid opens. Lance Stevenson calls and the pill popper calls. So he opened a 15, solid Mog ain't solid. Lance Stevenson calls and the pill popper call. I go to 115 with ace 10. You know, it's just an in-between play, right? Like, you have the best hand a ton, and when you don't, you're gonna have a stronger range, and you're still gonna be able to win a lot. Ace 10 offsuit is just an interesting hand to squeeze with, but I do it often. And now Lance rivers me, Lance Stevenson, and it doesn't matter. I love this guy's air guitar after he'd make a shot on the Lakers. And now the first man ever born button straddles, and that should tell you something about the button straddle. Some people have said it's not a good play. Well, if the first man ever born does it, you have to respect that he probably has some wisdom. And I flop the world and I miss. Great. And now another distraction. So I've talked about Edonk in this podcast a lot. He's an amazing patron and a real pillar of DGF community. He's very approachable, very funny, very lighthearted, you know, just warm. He's also a big fucking baby because he's a part owner at Poker Rags and he's in charge of design. And he's doing a great job at this point in the story, going back and forth with Marley, you know, getting what design she wants and you know, getting them just right. But I don't know, he's copying me on every message back and forth. Because he's just a baby. Like, he just is afraid to message her by himself. And I didn't need to put that in here, but I did. And it's okay. You know, some people are shy or scared of pretty girls or whatever it is. It's fine. Copy me on everything. Yeah. So my phone's just, it already lights up all the time, you know, with all the stuff going on with the community and whatever. And I got text messages going back and forth. It's great. I love it. And, you know, shout out to Edonk. What a guy. Okay. And what happens here? I fold King Jack offsuit under the gun because the floor man has a clipboard in my face. Okay. So I need to fill out some shit to get, you know, eligible for the $300 that I can collect within 7 days. Okay. And I save money. I wouldn't have flopped anything. And I don't always open King Jack offsuit under the gun, except I always do. I was going to say I don't always, but in red chip poker, I don't see myself ever folding it under the gun. No. So, yeah, in a bigger game, sure, in certain situations. But I fold because the guy's got a clipboard in front of my face and got a lot going on. Edunk's, you know, texting Marley, but it's copying me on it, and I'm wondering why, and it's great. Well, it's, I don't know, it's focused poker. And, all right, now I'm the big blind with ace-deuce offsuit, and I turn my phone upside down. I need to fucking get in mad scientist mode. That's the most fun for me. It doesn't matter what stakes I'm playing. If I go in mad scientist mode, I'm happy, right? Because I'm thinking, like, the opposite of cookie cutter. I'm just taking all the variables, and I'm, you know, trying to assign proper weight to them, and I'm going to do something that's, you know, not in the books, right, or not on the sites, and just because, I don't know, I like it, and it's good for the pot, I think, too, but, and it's good for my results, for sure. Anyways, I'm the big blind with ace deuce offsuit. The first man ever born limps under the gun, okay, and now Lance gets in there, too, on the button, right? And I check my big blind. So we have jack shit in there. We got $15, you know, $17 plus, you know, they're going to take some out. So minus whatever the rake is. Okay. The flop comes 10, 10, 10. All right. I like this flop. The ace deuce offsuit. Well, I check. And the first man ever born bets 10, which is about the pot. And Lance Stevenson, born ready, calls. And now it's time for me to be a scientist. So the first man ever born limped under the gun, And you know, this could be a big pair often. Well, what big pair do I block? I block aces with ace deuce off suit. So he has a big pair, but probably not aces. And even if he does have aces, is he going to stack off on a 3-10 flop if I get really creative and I'm really patient in my bluff? I don't think so. First man ever born knows not to stack off in this spot. So you don't always want to rep quads, but I did hear, and especially since Lance Stevenson called behind him, right? I know Lance doesn't, or I think strongly that he doesn't have quads, and I'm almost 100% sure the first man ever born doesn't. So what I do here is, just to rewind a little bit, you know, E-Dog's doing a great job for Poker Rags, but in you know, he's shy. So I'm copying on all his interactions with Marley. It's fantastic. And, you know, the floor people have been jamming clipboards in my face, and it's cool. But now I'm ready to play some poker, so I turn my phone upside down and the big blind with ace-deuce offsuit, right? And first man ever, born. I didn't verify that, but I'm pretty sure it's accurate. Limps under the gun. Lance Stevenson limps the button, right? And I check my big blind. Ace 2 off suit. Flop comes 10-10-10. I love it. I love flops like this. And I check, first man ever born, bets $10, which is about pot. Lance Stevenson calls. It's time to be a fucking scientist, right? I go to what I'm going to raise right now, right? I could call and raise later, but I don't want to have Lance Stevenson turn a boat, because I don't think I'm ever going to be able to get him to fold, because he's got too much money, and this is not that big of a game, right? So I'm going to go for it now, and I go to $25. So a 2.5 after a bet and a call, I fucking love it, right? What reps quads more than a little baby raise in this spot? And, you know, I'm going to have to go a little bigger on the turn, and I'm going to have to go fucking gigantic on the river, but I'm ready for it. My phone's upside down. I'm ready for it, right? First man ever born calls 15 more, and Lance Stevenson folds, and his cards get exposed. Ace 6 offsuit. Okay. So I got him out, right? And now I just got to deal with the first man ever born, except the turn is a 10. Okay. So now I have the nuts, and he's drawing dead, the first man ever born. So now is not the time to bet. Now the time it's time to check. And he checks back, and the river's a 9, and I bet 40, and he pays me. Okay. But if the, you know, if I didn't turn the nuts, I was gonna get a nice amount of value with my bluff. I was gonna bet 75 on the turn, and I was gonna bet 350 on the river. But you know, I turned the nuts. So I shifted gears from, I'm going to put this elaborate, patient bluff, multi-street bluff out there, to, oh no, I'm going to check this street because this street's never getting called on this turn card. And then I'm going to, you know, no one can ever fold the river, even the first man ever born. Okay. And the next note is miss. And that's just a shitty note. And I'm sorry about that. And then I'm up $100. Why? Because I got paid. I got paid for my fucking high hand, my quads with ace king. They said, you can get paid. And so it was quite an experience, you know? But they gave me $300, and they said, you can put it in your pocket if you want. I said, no, this is going on the table. And now I'm up $100 because of that. And that's cool. And let me take another sip of coffee. Okay, so I just got paid my $300, and now on the small blind, and the pill popper opens the button to 20, and this is just an old lady that obviously has some kind of pain, and so she pops pills. It's not judging her. Obviously, I sympathize with her, but one time I was going to ask her for one, and I decided not to, and that was a while ago. Anyways, she's a, you know, a classic old lady reg at the Venetian, and she's got some heart. She's got some chops, kind of, sometimes. Anyways, she opens the button to 20, but it's forceful, right? And I'm sitting right next to her, and I have ace four offsuit, and so I go to 80 in the small blind because, you know, I just want the money. And, you know, the first man ever born folds, and she folds. And she says, I have to fold because you're so lucky. And so I haven't been called so lucky in a while, but she just saw me get paid with the quads. And so, it, you know, she's right. I'm so lucky. And so she folded. Good. And then I lose $250 to the first man who was ever born. And I say, I have to fold, man. So I lose 250 and I fold the river. I say, because you're so lucky. So I just, it's spreading around the table. She tells me I'm so lucky. She has to fold. I tell the first man ever born, I got to fold. You're so lucky. It's stupid. And it's also the story. It's a stupid story. Okay. And what happened was I blew up a pot and he flopped the set. And I followed the river and he showed. Okay. And I'm exactly even. And it's kind of weird. It's a weird feeling being even when you've won a promotion, right? And so it's time for me to go back into mad scientist mode. You know, turn your fucking phone over and play poker. And this is, I should do this more often. This is what's good about having a podcast, is you learn stuff while you're spewing, right? I learned that I shouldn't be writing while I'm waiting for a seat because it's just going to put me in the wrong mindset to play poker, right? I can write before I leave, you know, wherever I'm staying, sure. But once I get to the card room, I need to get in game mode, right? I learned that. Well, also, I learned that I need to turn my phone upside down more often. So I don't, you know, my designer isn't copying me on all. He's doing a great job, you know, but he's going to copy me because he's shy. It's okay. The world needs grown men who are very, very shy. It does. And it's good, but I need to turn my phone upside down to play well. Mad scientist mode. Here we go. I open king, queen, $15. That's standard, right? The first man who was ever born calls, and everyone else folds. So we got $30 out there, and it comes 10-3 deuce rainbow. And I bet $10, and he laughs, and he says, that much, huh? And I said, yup. And he calls the $10. Good. And the turn is an 8, and now there are 2 hearts. And I check, and he bets 20, and I snap make it 120. I make it 120 before his chips even settle. Like, they're still, you know, they're still rolling around kind of in front of him, and my 120's out there. And he just looks at me like, you know, I've seen your kind in my time on this planet, which is a long time. And he just shakes his head and folds. So it's good. It's not a big pot, right? But you're just winning with the worst hand, and you're just taking good lines, right? Like, you bet small, which is polarized, right? In the eyes of the first man ever born, it's either nothing or it's something big. And then on the turn, you check raise, and that confirms that it's the, you know, it's on that pole. It's on the monster pole. It wasn't. It was just 2 over cards that didn't hit the flop. Yeah. So that's good. And now I fuck up the next hand because I'm typing that hand. And this is part of it. It's a, you know, it's a big sacrifice to do this podcast with regard to poker, right? Not just writing before a session, but like, a lot of times I don't play a session because I need to catch up on this podcast. And a lot of times at the table, I'm writing stuff. And it's great for me long-term and even short-term therapeutically, right? It's so great for me and I love it, right? You want to do something you love. That's a secret, or not a secret, but that's a something to aspire to. Make your living doing something you love. I love podcasting. I love the writing part. I love, you know, I don't love the reviewing the notes, but I love hitting record and fucking spewing, right? And throwing people I love under the bus. You got to do that shit. Or I do. And anyways, but I fuck up the next hand because I'm writing that the previous hand where my phone was down. So what happens is I overlimp queen jack. You know, there's a button straddle out there and the pill popper limps, and I just overlimp with queen jack writing shit. And the button straddle is the solid mog who ain't solid. He looks like a solid mog, but he's not solid. They had 3-bet me with king queen offsuit when I opened out of the gun, and he checks. Okay, and the flop comes ace, king, 3, right? And I have a gut shot. And she checks, I check, and I'm writing still the previous hand, and he checks. And the turn's a seven, and she checks, and I check, and he checks. I really should bet the turn. I just should, right? Because she does not play a ton of hands, but a lot of them are little pocket pairs, and that's ace-king's horrible for a little pocket pair, right? And three, seven, and the river's a six, and she checks again, and I check again because I'm still writing. I just don't care. And he checks. And he had, she had pocket deuces, which beat me. She had, you know, and he had 9-3 offsuit in the button straddle. He actually won with flop bottom pair. And it's all because I was writing and I didn't steal a pot when it was just prime to be stolen. And it's okay. It's just what happened. All right. So, you know, and then the first man ever born limps again under the gun. This one feels really strong. I don't know. I'm sitting next to him. I just sense it, right? And now, you know, the solid mog who ain't solid goes to 25. Everyone calls. I have 8-5 of diamonds. If I didn't have a read that the first man ever born was going to pop it, I would gamble here and put 20 more in with 8-5 of diamonds against this cast of characters. But no, I folded because I really felt like the first man ever born was going to limp re-raise, and he did to 225. Wow. So it's good. It's good to be able to read people and know what they're going to do just by, you know, feeling their energy and observing them without making it obvious. You know, not staring, but just kind of being there, right? And here's the my button straddle, and I have Jack 10 offsuit, and the pill popper limps in the cutoff. And this also feels a little bit like a trap, right? She just limps in the cutoff on my button straddle, and the blinds fold, and I check my Jack 10. And it comes ace king 3, and she slams her hand down. This is different, right? She does have a strong range of pairs and good hands, right? She's not playing garbage. But when someone fucking slams checks, you know they got it. And so if you can remember to use it when you don't got it, you know, if your opponent is perceptive, it might work. And anyways, when someone slam checks, you know you're fucking dead. I check. I just hope a queen comes and I'm getting all our chips. And I check, and the turn's a seven, and she overbets. And everything was confirmed. Yes. So it's okay. I'm starting to play a little bit better, right? Just reading people, knowing what they have based on, you know, their behavior, basically. I don't know, but I have 8-6 of diamonds in a six-way straddle limper. Cindy, would you mind telling them what I flopped? Thank you. Okay, so the next hand I play is ace-10 suited, right? And I open it, and I get two calls. And who are the callers? And first man who's ever born, and Lance Stevenson. The flop comes 9-4 deuce, nary a heart. I check, first man ever born bets. Lance Stevenson calls, I fold. And the next note is not related to a hand I played or even anything at my table. It's, if you've listened to this podcast for a long time, you know my thing is equality, right? I do, from the bottom of my heart, believe we are all worth the same, right? And I do, with one exception, fucking tournament players. I think they should be segregated. I think they should not be in the cash room because there's a tournament table right next to us, and it's the loudest group of fucking goofballs, and it's hurting my head, and it's just so loud. And so I do believe that all human beings are worth the exact same, with that one exception, tournament players. I don't know if that's wrong or not, but I'm entitled to my own beliefs, I think. So I just wish we were segregated. Hopefully that's not, you know, politically incorrect, but you know, fuck, they're ruining my life on this day. The table just right next to us, and just so loud, and standing up and cheering, and fucking God bless America. So the next note is the first man ever born plays every hand. I don't blame him. to be honest. It sucks. Folding sucks. And this guy's wise. So I've always said folding sucks, and this guy's confirming that. And he's got a lot of years under his belt. Okay. And I stretch, and I have really sore ribs, like those muscles around your ribs. And you know what that means? I've been playing disc golf. Yep, I have. And it's a good sport. Okay. And I'm stuck. I'm the fucking jackpot winner who's stuck. It's not quite a jackpot, but it still feels embarrassing. When you win the promotion and you're stuck, and it's fine. And first man ever born is just winning all the pots. Good for him. And I'm missing a lot. And sometimes I talk to myself in my phone as someone else. And I wrote, God damn, hit a flop, young man. So I was calling myself young man as young man would. And young man's a legend in LA if you don't know. Peter. Yeah. It's time for my worst play. Good. I have pocket jacks. And this isn't a detailed hand history. But I lose $500 as an overpair to solid, not solid, who, called my 3-bet pre and made the nut flush. Okay. And he was polarized, very polarized, right? The only thing he beats me with is a flush, right? Because he's not taking this line with like two pair, nothing. No, it's a flush or I win and I call. But when someone is polarized and you're playing with red chips, that means they have the nut flush, right? And this is the third time I'd folded two over pairs already, at least. And the third time's the hardest. And you'll see that often in a poker session. Someone will make two good folds, and the third time they're just paying whoever it is, right? And I paid this motherfucker. And he's a nice guy. But fuck him for making a flush when I had my third overpair that I was supposed to fold, and I didn't because I was weak. Yeah. And now I go on tilt a little bit, and I want to rebuy. I want to rebuy for all the money that I have. And, I want to go to the maximum. Well, I can't, because at the Venetian, if you put cash on the table, it doesn't play until a chip runner grabs it and puts that green scarlet letter in front of you. It says money behind, right? So I only have $500 this hand, and that's actually important. It's my under-the-gun straddle, and I just decided it was time, and the solid, not solid Mog opened, and he was weak. And this Asian dude who actually was solid called, right? And this is a beautiful, beautiful squeeze spot for me with pocket eights, because this guy just got lucky against me. He's going to be so risk adverse. It's just silly, right? And the other guy, has a good hand, but not a great hand because he didn't even think about three betting. But I only have $500 and we're playing 2-5-10 because my money that's in front of me doesn't play, right? And because I don't have that placard yet that says money behind, this guy's a fucking whale. Yeah. So I just have my cash there. And so I only have 500. So I have to flat the open. And because stacks are whack for a 3-bet squeeze, right? And it comes 7-6-5 with two clubs. Okay. So I flopped another overpair, and this time I'm open-ended, and I lead. And the, solid Mog ain't solid folds, right? He just had whatever. And now the actual solid player calls. I mean, he seems solid, only been there, for a little bit. The turn's an offsuit ace, and I check, and he bets, and I call, okay? I have, pocket eights, and it came 7-6-5, two clubs, and so I have overpair and open-ended, right? And I led, and this guy called, and it turns an offsuit ace, and I check called, and the river is a six of clubs, pairing the board, completing the flush. I checked, and he bet an amount that seemed like a big hand, and I folded. And now I'm just flopping over pairs and losing, and I wrote, I need to stop flopping over pairs, but you know what?
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Okay, so the very next hand that I play, I have pocket nines. And strong but weak opens for 15. And what the fuck does strong but weak mean? This person is physically strong, genetically blessed, spends time in the gym, but they're also a pretty weak poker player. And they open to $15. and Lance Stevenson, who's strong but strong, calls. And I go to 75 with pocket nines in the small blind. I could go bigger, but, you know, this sizing's fine, I think. And they both call. Okay, so we got, you know, two and a Q out there. And I got pocket nines. And I said I wasn't going to stop, so quit asking. It comes 8-8-6. So I flopped another overpair. Told you I wasn't going to stop doing that. And 8-8-6 with two hearts. And there's two and a Q out there. And I bet 110, which is just under half the pot, right? And strong but weak calls too fast. And what does that mean? So he could call and I could be ahead a bunch. But when he calls too fast, I know I'm fucked, right? And so he's got me beat somehow, some way. And Lance Stevenson folds. And the turn is a seven, an offsuit seven. And I have nines. And here we go. I'm open-ended with an overpair again. And it's 8-8-6, two hearts, and an offsuit seven. I check, and strong but weak checks. Okay. The river's a 10. I made a straight with my overpair. And that's not easy to do. And I did. And I didn't know exactly how I was beat on the flop. Was it trips? Well, was it a big, did he slow play, you know, a huge pocket pair? What was it? I lead 180 here, just a good sizing, and he goes to 600, and I fold my hand face up. Like, look, man, you know, you got some money, but I made a straight. I flopped an overpair and made a straight, and I don't know. So, just... I'm 100% sure he had me, right? And I made it. It's kind of a cooler, whatever the fuck he had. Maybe he had 4-8s, but you would think he would turn it over for the high hand, but maybe he didn't know about the high hand. I don't know. So I have pocket jacks. I've been getting this hand a lot. And I pop it to $50 in position. And the actual solid player, just this Asian dude who plays kind of solid, and Lance Stevenson both call. 150 in the middle, queen 9-3. Oh, sorry, I had to do a little stretching. I, queen 9-3, I have pocket jacks in position, 150 in there. They checked me, I bet 60 with jacks on queen 9-3. And the actual solid player calls, and Lance Stevenson folds. Okay, the turn's a 3, and there was no flush draw on the flop. And so, this is a spot where you can check and then try and get value on the river. Or if you think the person was calling you with a gut shot that has an overcard, maybe, or middle pair, you can go for more value. And I did. I bet 75 here. Just, you know, not huge because I have jacks on queen 9-3-3, right? And against a solid player, I'm not going to go for, I don't know that much about his hand or his range, whatever you want to say. And anyways, the river's a brick and he checks and now I check back and he has king 9. So my read was right and... I maybe could have got a little more value on the river, but, you know, two streets is plenty with jacks on queen 9-3-3 when there's no flush draw out there, right? So I'm down $700. And it turns out, while I've been typing my notes, I've been blinding the dealer with the flashlight on my phone. So I'm 47 years old, not good with technology. Every so often, the flashlight on my giant fucking phone will be on and I won't know how it got on, or that it's on. And the guy looks at me like, ah! He's like, you've been blinding me with your flashlight. And I said, oh, sorry. But in my mind, I thought, good, you deserve it. No, but kind of. I mean, what the fuck? How many overpairs are you going to give me? I don't know. Okay. And it's just really loud. And I've called this red chip hell. Venetian, It can be. I think late at night, it's fine when it's... There's just so much going on. There's a turn... You know, tournament people. They're in there mixed in with the cash game people. And they're fucking standing up. And they're in costumes. And they're cheering every card. And they're saying, I put you on this. You know, God bless them, right? and there's an announcement, the high hand is this, dealers, check your racks, fucking tournament players, celebrate more, rebuys are almost done in, the, you know, in 20 hours, and we're going to have 57 starting days, and we're fucking robbing you guys, and you don't know it, and, you know, all that shit on the microphone, and they play horrible music, often too, loud, and like my son, I can't handle this, like, loud chaos. I like chill, right? And so I'm kind of losing my shit, you know, just like it's hard to focus. And I have my new shoes on that I bought from Nike ID, right? You make your own Nikes. And I wanted to get the Kobe Nikes, the purple and gold. But they were way too expensive. So I just made some purple and gold ones. And I'm looking down. I'm wondering if they're unlucky. I hope not, because I want to wear them. It's the first time. And guess who hits and runs? Strong but weak. So he's right. I was right. Strong dude, like big, buff. But that's weak. Hit and run is weak. I mean, it's fine. Whatever. I open, I have jacketed diamonds. And I'm the cutoff. And I open to $30. And that means there's a straddle on. And it's 3-5-10. And everyone behind me calls. And this is so typical of this level, right? Just everyone calls. Bigger games, you're getting 3-bet. No one's ever calling anything. You're just getting 3-bet or they fold, right? It's great. Well, I've jacketed diamonds. And they all three call. And the flop came down. And then I wrote in my phone, Post Malone, please save me. So I just couldn't handle the ruckus on this day. And so I put my AirPods back in, try Post Malone. That's a go-to for me. And Pill Popper changes seats away from me. The solid Mog ain't solid. He left because he won that nice pot against me where he made the nut flush. And I called with an overpair, which was stupid. And she wants his seat, not because, you know, she cares about getting position on anyone, but it's lucky seat, obviously. And so that means there's going to be another show on my direct right. She was on my direct right, and someone's going to come clean, right? It's probably going to be a floor lady with a low-cut shirt. I don't know. It's very interesting. But here's how bad I fucking run. Some new pro sits down in an unsanitized seat. It hasn't even been sanitized. And I almost rat him out. Like, wait a second. This wasn't sanitized. But I didn't, right? And this guy seems pretty cool, right? Young dude. And I have 30 minutes until the intermission in this session because I don't know if I mentioned it in a public drop, but I've decided I need to play way more poker and the sessions are piling up. So, like, I'm not going to play a session, go to dinner, play another session. I'm going to play one long session moving forward, like play, and then if I'm going to take a break, dinner, whatever, and then resume. Because I need to play way more hours. I need to fucking start making some money. I need to start playing bigger and so on, right? So, but I have 30 minutes until I'm taking a break in this session to go to dinner. And this guy sits down and he's cool and he's young. And I wrote over under on him being up $200 when I leave. Because that's your expectation when a new pro sits down. But I quickly learned that he was coming from the fucking tournament. So that's good. That means he's going to be on rage tilt and it's time for my best play. So I have pocket 10s and I open to 15. There's no straddle on. And, you know, some people call. And now this dude from the tourney, new pro-ish kind of young guy, goes to 75. Okay. His first hand. And I call and the actual solid player calls behind me. Right. So we got 225 out there. I could 4-bet, but, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's, don't need to. Flatting with 10s is fine. I didn't expect anyone to call behind me, but the solid player did. The actual solid player did. So we got 2 and a Q out there again. And it comes 8-6 deuce, 2-tone. And I have pocket 10s. Another overpair. I told you I wasn't going to stop flopping them. And this kid bets 125. And I call, and the actual solid player folds. Okay. And so what do we got out there? We got 475. Okay. And the turn's a 9. And now this guy, this new pro, checks. And he seems very aggro. And also, if you recall, going into this session, I knew I wasn't going to be locked. I wasn't going to distract myself. I wasn't going to make things worse by writing before, you know, in my phone while waiting for a seat. But I have a lot going on in my personal life. So I know I'm not going to be locked. And it's just so loud in there. So this is a spot where I will often bet to protect my equity against overcards, right? But because I'm not locked and this guy seems very aggro, I have some incentive to check here, right? Because A, if he shoves, normally I'll be happy with my decision-making process. But in this moment, no, I don't think I'm locked. I don't think I'm world-class decision-maker at the poker table in this moment. But I recognize it, and so I check. And B, the main reason to bet here is, you know, you want to deny equity from hands that won't bluff the river, right? Which is the vast majority of the population at this level is not bluffing the river. This guy seems different. So there are two reasons to check. And I think my default is to bet. And I checked and I got lucky that we'll see if I got lucky. The river's a five. So the final board is 8-6 deuce 9-5. So he bets 325. And okay, so at this point, he's not really repping anything, right? Because I'm the one with the sevens in my range, and any seven makes a straight, and he's just not repping anything. And so I call, and he has king 10, right? So I won a nice pot with a pair as a bluff catcher, and it was my best play because I had the insight to know I wasn't playing my A game, not even fucking close. I knew I wasn't going to when I showed up for the session. This is why I went to the Venetian, not to the Bellagio, because I knew I wasn't going to think great on this day because I was too distracted, too weighed down, right? And that's good. That's some new shit for me, right? It's knowing when you're not going to be at your best. And part of that, you know, check on the turn is that. And it's also realizing, no, this is actually someone that you can induce a river bluff if you check back here. And and it was fortunate. If the river is a king, that's gonna, you know, it's gonna tilt. It's gonna be brutal, right? But it wasn't. So he had three outs and he didn't hit any of them, and you know, it's nice. And I ordered a couple beers because when I break my fast, I'm gonna have some beers, especially when I'm in Vegas. And you gotta get your value, right? You're at a poker table. You better order two on your way out if you're going to go drinking, you know? And I ordered two and he says, one for me? This kid's cool. And I said, make it three. And it was a waitress I knew. I don't think they're allowed to bring you three drinks, but she said, okay, three. And that's good. And I said that before this hand and they arrive and he gets one and I get two and I know I'm going to be leaving soon. And he's opening to $50 every hand. We got the straddle on. And this is a spot where you don't really want to be on his direct left. And I am. And I call with ace, seven of clubs. And it's five ways. 250 out there. Flop comes 7-3-3 with a club. And he bets 200. And it's just a tough spot. I just didn't think he was bluffing this time. He had already bluffed off to other people as well. And I had the first man ever born behind me, you know, who called 50 pre, the pill popper who's already C-changed, and the actual solid player behind. So I folded A7 on 7-3-3 with a club. Might be a little weak. It is weak, but it's just a really tough spot. And, you know, someone that's playing super aggro, even if they're spewing it off, they can be hard to play against, especially in a multi-way pot. So I won $175 with ace king, and I lost $65 with 10-3 of spades on the button straddle. And that's going to happen sometimes. And someone's going to raise too small, and you're going to have to be in there with 10-3 suited. You're going to flop some equity and miss, whatever. But it's amazing how much better I felt after one beer and the fucking tournament went on break. So those guys are out in the casino fucking ruining everyone's life out there. You know, I don't know what they're doing. They're comparing hand histories or whatever. I love tournament players. I just don't want to ever be around them. I mean, some of them. Derek, GMZ, of course. So anyways, I just feel so much better after one beer. And that's a serious thing. When you're a hypersensitive person and there's fucking madness all around you, sometimes one beer can numb things just a little bit and take you off edge. And obviously it's nice that kid bluffed off to me, and it's really nice that the tournament's on break and that table that's, you know, right next to us, and guys standing up to fucking do jumping jacks every time he's all in preflop and his chair shoots back into my chair. You know, tournament players, the real poker players. Anyways, what do we got here? We got ace queen, and I open it. I didn't straddle. I don't know why. I think because I was holding two beers and it was too hard. And I opened ace queen, and you know, everyone called. And Lance Stevenson just overcalled late, and he seemed really strong. So I was just paying attention. You know, it's a little quieter in the room right now. And it comes king, queen, five. We all check. And the turn's a six, and there are two diamonds now. And I bet 40 into 75. Everyone check the flop. I have second pair. It's time to deny equity, get some value, you know, that stuff. Lance Stevenson calls. Rivers an offsuit 10, and I check back. I thought he was really strong. He had ace king of diamonds, so he just flatted ace king suited to my open, and everyone calling in a great squeeze spot. And he flopped top pair and checked and turned nut flush draw with it, and he check called, and then he never bet the river. Interesting. And then so it's my I'm the straddle, and I have jacks again. I can get this hint. Jiggities. And the solid player opens the button to 40, right? And so solid players, the only time they open wide is in the fucking button, right? And Lance Stevenson calls. I pocket jacks. I go to 140. I want to fold out, you know, most of this guy's opening range on the button. And I want Lance to call him. I want to be heads up in position with jacks. Well, now the actual solid guy goes to 340. So that sucks, because it's the dynamic is button against button open against straddle squeeze, and he goes to 340, and yeah, I'm the most aggro player at the table, and people sometimes lose their mind, but this guy doesn't seem quite the type. And I don't know, as long as I don't flop an overpair, I should be good. And I apologize for the background noise. I don't know if you guys can hear it or not, but it's loud as fuck in my headphones. They're, you know, just doing, that's what construction workers do. But they're a lot more tranquil than tournament players, I'll tell you that much right now. Okay, let me rewind this hand. I'm the straddle with jacks. The solid player opens to 40 on the button, right? So 4X button open. Okay. Lance Stevenson calls. I go to 140, which I think he's going to fold all his bad with his weak stuff, and Lance will call with everything and I'll have jacks in position. No, that's not what happens. The solid player goes to 340, 200 more, Lance folds, and we're deep enough for me to call here and reevaluate. And I do. And I just, as long as I don't flop an overpair, I'll be happy. Because I just need to stop flopping overpairs on this day. They're stressful and I'm not thinking my best. So yeah, I just need to stop. But also,
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
So yeah, the flop comes 10-9 deuce. And I check, and the solid player bets 375 with 500 behind. And I go in the tank for a little bit, and I make the fold. I don't know, it's just a frustrating spot. And then I call a raise with ace-10, and on this one I flop. And now it's my button straddle. And the pill popper opens, and a bunch of people call, and I have 7 deuce offsuit, so I can't even call in position, and that's okay. And then another straddled pot, and Lance Stevenson limps, and I isolate with queen 9 of hearts, and yeah, it's successful. I go to 50 with queen 9 of hearts, and it folds back to Lance Stevenson, born ready, and he calls, comes ace jack 3 with a heart, he checks, I bet 50, and he folds. And then I make a flush versus Lance Stevenson. He didn't have anything. And at the intermission, I've played 3 hours and I'm down $154. And I'm going to go eat dinner and I'm going to come back. And I'm going to turn this L into a W. At least that's the plan. Part 2 tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed this drop of session. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. That's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know. We're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Because otherwise,